You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC this Saturday evening, July the 31st, last day of July. It's August already in just a few hours, and we're going to have another red hot and rolling broadcast for you this evening, and another first-time guest as well. A couple of weeks ago, it was Charles Balsman of Russia Today. Tonight, a little later on in the program, in the full and final third hour, you're going to prepare yourself for a riveting hour of radio when we welcome to the show for the first time Larry Ray Hardin. Larry Ray Hardin is a retired special agent with the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. After a 30-year career there, he now teaches criminal law and runs his own private investigation firm. He's the author of three books that detail his life and experiences fighting organized crime and the so-called war on drugs. So you're going to hear from this former special agent tonight, talking about what things are really like on the Mexican border. So that's going to be something we look forward to in the third and final hour tonight. And if you want to have a little advanced sneak peek, if you're listening at home, Larry Ray Hardin, H-A-R-D-I-N, LarryRayHardin.com, and he's been advertising this appearance. Had the chance to talk to him at length a little earlier this week, and he just sounds like a fantastic guy. Can't wait to hear more of his story myself.
Not John Wesley Hardin, you know, the famous gunfighter that Bob Dylan sang about, but Billy Ray Hardin, or what was it? What? Tell me his name again.
Larry Ray Hardin.
Larry Ray Hardin. Yeah, I tell you, good Southern name there. And by the way, you were playing Secret Agent Man as a little aside. Remember Paul Shanklin's famous takeoff Secret Asian Man that he did for Rush Limbaugh? Well, my wife worked with John Wong, who was the subject of that song, the Secret Asian Man, who was the bag man supposedly for the Clintons and the Gores from the Chinese government at the Union Planters Bank in Memphis, International Department. In fact, I met the guy at a cocktail party once. This is before he was famous or anyone knew anything about the Clintons, or in fact I think it was before he did any of that. This was back in the 80s, but nonetheless, as just an interesting aside, you talk about 6 degrees of separation.
Oh, you never know. I'll tell you, we'll figure it out. But there is some truth to that. Everybody's 6 degrees or less from anybody else in the world, no matter who they may be. Well, here's what we're going to do. It's been such a busy year of broadcasting. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a busier year of broadcasting that we've done. And every show has just been jam-packed, and we haven't had a lot of time just to get into short tidbits of stories and just, hey, here's a headline, give me 2 minute reaction to this. Well, we're going to do that this hour. And we're going to bring on Jack Ryan in the second hour, moving him up from his customary third hour to the second hour. He's going to give us some coverage on the Olympics, the ongoing Olympic Games in Japan. And we'll do that with Jack. But a lot of stories between here, between now and then. And then, of course, our featured guest in the third hour. So what we're going to do, Keith, is I'm going to serve you up some headlines that have caught my attention, headlines that have been catching my attention for weeks, but that we otherwise haven't had time to integrate into the program. And we can't do long-form commentaries on these because we've got to cover as much ground as we can. We typically don't do good in rapid-fire segments. We don't do well in these segments because we always have so much to say. So I've got a sound effect of a ship horn. And after After you
foghorn, leghorn.
After you go past the allotted time that we have for any of these given topics, I'm going to start laying on it, and I'm not going to stop until we move on to the next segment. That way, we're going to be policed. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, okay. Let's start with, I'm just going to pick them out of the hat here. Women in the military. That's a quick one to sort of set the table tonight, set the stage. We've got so much to talk about. But women in the military, so it got announced that women will now have to enlist for selective services. And if there's ever another draft, women are going to be called upon to serve, well, not this country, but whatever you serve when you're in the military, certainly. And I heard some young females being interviewed about their reaction, and of course they gave the right answer. Oh, this is great. We're finally being treated as equal. Oh, well, what a step forward for women. I don't think, Keith, that they would have the same reaction if push ever comes to shove and they're actually drafted in war.
Look, this is another example of the decadence and the degradation of the American nation, that now we're going to force women into the armed forces. This is crazy. You know, our enemies must be licking their chops. You know, trying to make America woke is making us weak. And everybody knows it everywhere else in the world, and the people at home know it. You know, if you have a military full of transgendered people and women and others, you know, affirmative action candidates for officers' school and things like this, you know, we're going to be sitting ducks for the next big military showdown. And I can tell you, I think both China and Russia are more than ready for it. In fact, China in particular, I think, is probably licking their chops.
Okay, well, good. We didn't even have to go to the Queen Mary for that one. I'm sure we'll get to work it in at some point this hour. So there's that. I mean, obviously, it's a farce. Obviously, it's ridiculous. Obviously, I don't really there may never even be another ground war again. It may all just be nukes if it comes to that at any point during the future. But surely,
I don't think it'll even be nukes. No, they have like a nuclear bomb that goes off underwater and causes a tidal wave and stuff like this. And they also have neutron bombs that leave all the infrastructure standing, just kills the people.
If it is another hot ground war, though, can you imagine women going into battle against the Chinese or the Russians or anything like that? I mean, what a joke.
Or even the Iranians.
Okay.
My gosh.
Okay, here's another quick one just to give you an idea of some of the topics with which we can cover with the quickness tonight. The Cleveland Indians are the latest to suffer and bend the knee to cancel culture and wokeism. They are now the Cleveland Guardians. And this is the thing, anytime one of these sports teams like the Washington Redskins change their names. Number one, Indians don't have any problems with these names. They just don't. And I guess the people are just too stupid to know that when you name something of value, when you named a prized possession after something like an Indian, you're doing it to honor someone or a group that you had some modicum of respect for, either for their culture or for their tenacity in battle. When you name a bridge or a city or a state or a river or a lake or a sports franchise after something like the Indians or the Braves,
foghorn is coming.
You are paying them a compliment. So I think that's something that's been lost in this entire conversation. But nevertheless, the Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians of the Major League Baseball. So how ridiculous. We'll be back.
You need to give me the foghorn.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Been our motto here at TPC for these many years, and when we get attacked in the news, it sometimes takes a couple of weeks for it to even register anymore. The novelty of it has certainly long since worn off, but TPC has in fact been in the news in a couple of different stories in recent weeks, both stories that we covered on this program in recent weeks, but we just didn't make mention of the fact that we were part of it because we didn't want it to be in any way sharing the focus of what we were covering. One was, of course, the passing of Bill Regnery, and the first article that came out that was so widely cited talking about his passing. One of the instances that they used to illustrate what a bad guy he was the fact that he was friends with us and friends with me, and I was friends with him. And then in a USA Today article that documented how sheriffs who uphold their oath to the Constitution are among the greatest threats to American democracy. Now, how they made that connection, that's a mental gymnastics.
They don't even have to rationalize it. All they have to do is announce it. See, that's what the left has gone to. They don't have to debate anyone anymore because they control the microphone. So they just make an announcement like that, and people somehow are supposed to accept that as gospel.
Well, this was a USA Today article, and we mentioned it with Sam Bushman last week. But what we didn't tell you at the time was that we were included in that article. And the article, again, tries to convince you that sheriffs who take seriously their oath to uphold and defend the Constitution are the greatest threat to American democracy. That was the story. And one of the reasons they want you to know that these sheriffs are so dangerous is because that one of them, one of the sheriffs that they profiled, talked to me in 2012.
Well, the whole issue is this, in a nutshell. The chief executive officer of a county, which is the only recognized subdivision, legal subdivision of a state, the chief executive officer of a county is a sheriff, and the sheriff can act like the chief executive. There are a lot of counties like Shelby County, Tennessee, where we live, or at least where I live. They have a county mayor, but that's not what the Constitution says. So, see, they see having a law enforcement person as the chief executive is a great threat, just like they saw having warrior generals and admirals in the military as a threat, or having white conservative police forces as a threat. This tells you something about what they've got in store for the future, folks. Just think about it for a while. Let it sink in.
Well, as they said in The Godfather, this is the business that we've chosen. And so that's the way it is. And, of course, I mean, my God, we've seen and done it all in media. There was, of course, one day where there were three articles in the Washington Post, which is supposed to be the country along with the New York Times. We were in the New York Times that week as well, that particular week. Three articles, though, in one day in a single newspaper. That's maybe a little over the top. But anyway, those are just a couple of instances that we can bring to your attention. TPC always being monitored, always being watched, always being attacked. But we are not over the target unless we're catching flack, are we, Keith Alexander?
That's one of your famous sayings.
I thought you
true.
Came up with that.
Well, but whichever one of us did. We accept it for the cesspool. It's a cesspool saying for sure.
Okay, so we'll mark that off the list. Here's a serious topic we need to talk about, and our good friend Buddy in Arkansas sent me this. Is what's going on with the Capitol Hill interlopers, those tourists who in so many cases wandered in, and who could have blamed them? If the doors are wide open and the law enforcement are standing there watching people walk by, maybe you would think, hey, what's going on here? I'll go in and check it out. And I'm sure that was the case with the vast majority of those people. Several hundred of them have been arrested now and are in prison. And listen to the way they're being treated. Now, they are actually being treated as if they were literal terrorists and not just people that were unbeknownst to them, trespassing.
Even terrorists shouldn't be treated like this.
This is Guantanamo Bay stuff. This is the story from...
See, and the reason they had Guantanamo Bay is because they couldn't carry that off on U.S. soil because of the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Well, they're doing it with these people. Here is the story. Sarasota chiropractor Joe Hackett sits in solitary confinement in Washington, D.C., facing 20 years in prison after standing in the U.S. Capitol building for 10 minutes on January 6, 2021. One of the many Trump supporters who journeyed to Washington to support their president returned home for 3 months before he was snatched by the FBI and flown to prison. His beleaguered wife and daughter now face $250,000 fee to hire a lawyer to fight these totalitarian charges that now unjustly jail more than 500 patriotic American citizens. So what's going on here, Keith, is that in some of these cases, they are spending 23 hours a day in solitary confinement for wandering into the Capitol. Unarmed, completely unarmed, many of them not knowing what they were going to see or what they were doing. So many of them, they didn't engage in vandalism. They didn't break things. They just curiously went inside. Was it ill-advised? Well, I mean, obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but I certainly didn't know at the time that that was an act of treason to walk into the people's house.
Look, just read the Bill of Rights, particularly the Fifth Amendment. I believe it's the Fifth Amendment, not the Sixth. You have a prohibition against double jeopardy. You have a prohibition against excessive bail or no bail. You have a requirement, a guarantee of your right of habeas corpus. In other words, they have to charge you with a crime with reasonable dispatch, and then they can set bail. All of those things are being flaunted and totally ignored by the current regime in Washington, D.C.
Let me give you some more figures on this, my friend. This is a CBS news story, by the way. This isn't one of our media organs. CBS News reports that the feds hope to arrest 300 more of the January 6th protesters who haven't yet been identified. To date, according to this number and according to this story, 535 Americans are now held in solitary confinement in Washington, D.C. jails for their role in what they did. And we all saw it on TV, so we know what they did wasn't that much. Certainly far less than the carnage and the absolute terrorism that has been perpetrated on this country and in city after city for months on end by Black Lives Matter. But they are still looking for more than 300 more Over 500 now in solitary confinement, which, again, they can't be bailed out. They completely cannot be taken out. They can't get bail like so many people
could.
They
haven't even been officially charged in some instances on this. So, see, all of this shows a total contempt and disrespect for the law of the land, which is the Constitution and its amendments.
And it's because of stories like this, of course, that you need sheriffs who would dare to, well, they call it, see, how backwards is all this? How Orwellian is it? You can do this, and that's fine. That's not unconstitutional to take a doctor from Sarasota who stood in the building for 10 minutes and put him in solitary confinement with no charges, or maybe he has been charged, but in any event, he can't be bailed out, which is completely wrong. I mean, they only do that in certain murder situations. All right, and in the meantime, it's the sheriffs who would uphold the Constitution that are domestic.
Pushes back against the federal regime, and what this shows you too is that there's no right of peaceful protest if you're on the right. The left made people think that there was some type of magic mojo to peaceful protest, going back to Gandhi and whatnot, and that it had some magic totemic power or something. Basically, if the media isn't behind you, peaceful protest is a trap. Don't fall for it. You see what happened to the peaceful protesters that went to Charlottesville, and now the January 6th demonstration in Washington, D.C. If you are on the right, you're just making yourself a sitting duck. Don't allow that to happen to you. If you now know that the right of peaceful assembly, another constitutional right, doesn't apply to you or us.
We've got other things to get to this hour, so stay tuned, why don't you? James Edwards, Keith Alexander. We'll be back. So much more to come this hour and next. We'll be covering the news as much as we can fit in. Third hour, former DEA agent Larry Ray Harden making his debut appearance on the show. What is it like to actually be in that agency and try to enforce the laws on the border? What did he see on the border? It's all coming up in the third hour.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. The Senate convened a rare weekend session on Saturday with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer encouraging the authors of a bipartisan infrastructure plan to finish writing their bill so that senators can begin offering amendments. MyPillow CEO and fervent Donald Trump supporter Mike Lindell says he's pulling all of his advertisements from Fox News after the network refused to run a spot for his cyber symposium, which he claims will provide enough proof of industrial-scale election fraud to propel the former president back into office.
Then we're going to bring it as a quo warranto to the Supreme Court. It's going to be 9-0. They're going to take this election down. And yes, Donald Trump will be your president. He is your president now.
The Cyber Symposium is set to overtake Sioux Falls on August 10th through the 12th. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Hey, friends, it's John and Chelsea Jubilee, and here's my beautiful wife, Chelsea.
Hi, women. I have a message just for you today. Every single day, we have women that come to us in pain. Not physically, even though, yes, that is too, but in pain from suffering of hopelessness because they have tried every single thing to lose weight, and they can't.
And they can't year after year after year, and they give up. They give up hope. They're desperate. They're in a dark place, but we have a light of truth. Science is the search for the truth that is known. In our breakthrough science of intercellular hydration, ladies, you will lose 15 to 20 pounds of solid fat every 4 weeks. Go log on to our website. Look at the testimonials of real women just like you who were hopeless, but this changed their life.
Check us out at energizedhealth.com. That's energizedhealth.com.
Republicans in the U.S. House are pushing the Biden administration to disclose how many illegal immigrants who cross at the U.S. southern border are being tested for COVID-19 by the Department of Homeland Security, as vaccinated Americans are being told to wear masks indoors. Tensions are escalating between Israel and Iran. Mike Fortier has more.
Two Israeli officials tell the New York Times Iran flew unmanned drones into an oil tanker managed by an Israeli company Thursday night off the coast of Oman. Two crew members from Great Britain and Romania killed. Iran's state-owned TV cites sources saying the attack was in response to a strike reportedly by Israel in Syria last week. This is the first time civilians have been killed in incidents between Iran and Israel in recent months. The U.S. Defense Department says officials investigating the attack conclude multiple drones were involved. The U.S., though, not publicly blaming Iran for the attack, and Iran not publicly claiming responsibility. From the USA Radio News Florida Bureau, I'm Mike Fortier.
This is USA Radio News.
Beware of pretty faces that you find. A pretty face can hide an evil mind. You say, or you will give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow. Secret Asian man, secret Asian man. They've given you a number and taken away your name.
Now that's just one hell of a song anyway, you slice it. The great Johnny Rivers, Secret Agent Man, and that's, of course, the
mid-60s.
Theme song of the show is where that song came
from.
That's
from a TV series, Secret Agent Man.
We'll ask.
Agent Man. I'm doing like Paul Shanklin. You listen to it, and you can't tell whether it's Secret Agent Man or Secret Asian Man.
Well, yeah, I mean, and things have been said about that, but... we'll be asking our featured guest during the third hour how close that song actually gets to the way life is, and I'm looking forward to it. It's hard for me to pronounce his full name properly, Larry Ray Harden. Here in the South, it's just Larry.
Okay. But I tell you that you don't get a name that sounds much more Southern Baptist than that one.
Well, and that's another thing about this guy that was so impressive in talking to him. He was born in rural Kentucky, and he went on to have this career that spanned three decades in law enforcement, special agent. We'll ask him too, what's the difference between an agent, a special agent, and a secret agent maybe?
And a secret Asian man.
Three decades in the DEA. But he has just written a book about coming back home and finding Kentucky and remembering Kentucky. And, well, anyway, we'll talk to him about all of that. Each of his three books would be worthy of an hour deep dive. But we'll cover the most as much as we can with the time we've got. And we'll have him back on for an encore. But getting back to what we were talking about in the previous segment with the just sheer, I would say, absurdity, but absurdity would make it appear as though this is some sort of a laughing matter or something that's unserious. But nothing could be more serious. American citizens facing 23 hours a day solitary confinement. They can't be bailed out, all for the role they played. And what, compared to certainly your garden variety Black Lives Matter riot, would have been... It wouldn't have even moved the needle on a Black Lives Matter peaceful protest. See, that when they were burning down cities, that was a peaceful protest. This was an act of terrorism for people to loiter around uninvited in the Capitol building. And you can't help but compare that to the sheer evil, I think, that the truly peaceful protesters in Charlottesville are facing. We were talking about this at supper tonight too, Keith, in advance of the program as we were prepping for tonight's show, and that is Charlottesville. Charlottesville happened now a full 4 years ago. 4 years ago. And the first trial is going to take place in a couple of months in October. Of course, we had Jason Kessler on a few weeks ago to give us an update on all of that. Whatever happened, 4 years? Whatever happened to your right to a speedy trial? That doesn't sound very speedy to me. Half a decade before you can go to court?
That's another part of the Fifth Amendment that apparently they're excising from the new improved Constitution that they're enforcing nowadays. All of those constitutional rights don't exist when they're invoked on behalf of people that are on the right of the political spectrum, apparently, anymore. That's the brave new world of America we live in here in 2021.
All right, well, listen to this. This is a twist in the whole Charlottesville thing. And that is that we have now found out that Deborah Lipstadt is going to be brought in as an expert witness. Now, this was something, to use one of Sam Dixon's lines, if we needed further evidence that the system's courts are rigged against, well, law itself, really, or the proper application of law, what in the world, and in what way, and in what world is Deborah Lipstadt an expert in any way, shape, or form with what happened in Charlottesville? I mean, I think the only reason people know her name at all was because of the fame that she got in defeating David Irving decades ago in a trial in the UK. But to say that she's an expert on what happened in Charlottesville, she had nothing to do with it. She wasn't there. She wasn't a part of it. I mean, she is what she is, but an expert on this, it's again, absolute clownish behavior on behalf of the courts, except they take themselves seriously. So we must, because, of course, our fate relies in the decisions that are going to be made there. The people that are going before them is going to be all too serious to them. But it's all a show. It's a sham.
Well, I remember when I was young, we used to go to the courthouse, and they had a statue of Lady Justice. And Lady Justice, you could always tell her because she had a blindfold on. Apparently, the blindfold has been lifted and jettisoned when it comes to liberal venues like Charlottesville, Virginia, full of lefty crypto-communist professors and students and whatnot and other woke people. And this Lipschitz person, a good daughter of Israel, a good Jewish activist, but does that make her an expert witness on anything? This is this would be, anything she says will be irrelevant, immaterial, and incompetent.
Well, except it'll be taken as God's holy word, I'm afraid, in these system courthouses. And, of course, we got a taste of that in my own libel trial. But in any event, we didn't go to trial, of course, but in that those whole court proceedings.
Case.
Thank you, Keith. But again, if you're talking about peaceful protesters, I think two relatively good examples would be Charlottesville and what we saw on January 6th. What they call peaceful protesters are, of course, actually the rioters. And this is how backwards it all is. Now, speaking of Black Lives Matter, another story. I saw this huge headline that screamed, Black Lives Matter mural vandalized, and they are pursuing this as if it is a hate crime. They've got them working in shifts on trying to figure out who the perpetrators were. And basically what it was, the Black Lives Matter mural was actually vandalism in itself. It's in huge block yellow letters, Black Lives Matter, painted on a public street. That's supposed to be some work of art, some sanctified piece of art.
Apparently you can't even put on the brakes there or you're defacing this wonderful
Well,
monument.
And that is exactly what happened. So you had some hooligans go in and do some donuts on it where it left some rubber from the tires on this sacred mural that looks like a kindergartner would have written it.
Somebody was cutting donuts on it, really, basically.
Well, they just went up and around, and it looked kind of like a sea wave, the ebbs and the flows of the sea. So were their car tires in that particular speed run. Well, in any event, this mural, they're going to be facing some hate crimes charges. They're going to certainly be facing the full wrath of whatever penalty they can get.
Compare that to General Forrest's statue.
You're stealing my thunder.
General Forrest's statue being defaced and desecrated and damaged. None of that counts as desecration or vandalism, but some impromptu Black Lives Matter piece of baloney that's out there painted on the street has now become a sacred monument that deserves full protection of the law. See, we live in a world now where heads I win, tails you lose. There are no rights for people on the right, and there are all of these enhanced rights for people on the left.
Keith, I can't oversimplify what this was. Again, somebody got a can of yellow paint and they wrote Black Lives Matter on a public street that cars drive on. Well, one of the cars slammed on the brakes and left some tire marks. Now, I think you look at it, you know that they did it on purpose, okay? But, I mean, it's just on a street, and so that could happen, and now they're facing this. Well, you're right, and it wasn't just the desecration of Forrest's grave where they actually exhumed his body in this ghoulish, godless, evil act that was perpetrated by these white-hating zealots. But they were, of course, vandalizing the monument and the beautiful equestrian statue on nearly a daily basis. You had to have constant police protection down there to keep it from being vandalized with red paint and whatever. I thought, hey, if you look at it over the course of the last couple of years, I thought defacing monuments was an American pastime. You can tear down the monument to Sacagawea or Lewis and Clark or Columbus or anybody. It doesn't have to be a Confederate anymore. And that's just what you do in America. But if you slam on your brakes while driving over the words Black Lives Matter that were painted, I guess, was it legal to paint that on a public street funded by taxpayers? Who knows? But that's going to
try painting
get
a
you.
Picture of General Forrest on the ground.
You can
the street
burn down a police station, no problem. But you better not slam on your brakes if you're driving over Black Lives Matter.
Have you noticed something about the new statues for the new heroes like Ida B. Wells and whatnot that they're making compared to the statues of the old heroes like Nathan Bedford Forrest and Robert E. Lee? Take a look at the quality of the statuary, and that tells you all. It tells you about the quality of the people that are promoting both types of statues. One is classic, one is beautiful, one is moving, the other looks like a piece of junk. That's what they are. I mean, they have a bunch of no-talent bums making statuary for these new this new raft of heroes that they are trying to force down the throats of the American public.
Everything about them is ugly, Keith. Their souls are ugly. Their physical appearance is ugly. Their art is ugly to the extent that you can call it art at all. Their architecture, their ideas, they have rotted from the inside out, and it manifests in everything that they do.
Postmodern statuary.
We'll be back. We're keeping going. Hey, so, you know, I haven't even had to pull out the horn one time. We're keeping a pace. Very good work. Very good work. And I've got it here. I've got it here. We'll let you listen to it so you can know I'm not lying about it. Haven't had to pull it out yet. We'll see. We're still a lot of show to go. We'll be right back.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Swinging on the Riviera one day, and then laying in the Bombay Alley next day. I know you let the robbers slip by kissing persuasive.
promised you at the beginning of the summer, we promised you action and adventure and romance and new guests and a little road show in South Carolina. We've delivered on most of that anyway.
Swinging on the Riviera one day, lying in a Bombay alley next day. It sounds like one of your vacations, James.
Hey, you never know where the road's going to take you here at TPC. Hey, I'm looking forward again to Larry Ray Harden. LarryRayHarden.com. Check it out and check out his books. And looking forward to hearing his story. I told him when we were talking earlier this week that we actually had another former DEA agent on the show, and they ended up making a major movie about his life. It was Bob Mazur, and Bob Mazur played a key role in infiltrating and bringing down Pablo Escobar's Medellin cartel, and they made a movie on his life called The Infiltrator, and Bryan Cranston of Breaking Bad fame played Bob Mazur in the movie. Pretty good movie, if you want to check it out, but that... That's what happened the last time we had a former DEA agent on the program. So really looking forward to Larry Ray coming up in our third and final hour. So stay tuned for that. So, Keith, continuing on, I see all these stories. And I said, you know, that'd be something we could give a little treatment to on TPC. But none of them in their own right necessarily enough for a full segment. So when we have a show like this, we got a little extra time to play with. Not a wasted minute this year. So many guests, so many topics, so many events to cover. But tonight, I'm excited to have this this extra time so we can sort of chew through some of these. Antifa is there's, you know, there is value in comedy and in comic genius and in comic relief, and the left hates to get
lampooned.
Yes, they hate it. They want to be taken seriously because they take themselves so seriously. But there is something that came out this week that I laughed out loud when I saw it, and it says that there's a new Oregon Trail game. And the objective of the game is, you know, in the original Oregon Trail, it's one of those early computer games where you go from Kearney all the way into, of course, the Oregon. And in the new Oregon Trail game, though, you have to try to survive a trip through Portland. And then in the original one, it says you have died of... what would you die from in the original Oregon? Dysentery.
Dysentery.
That's right. It has the same graphics. You have died of peaceful protest.
Cholera or something.
Yes, exactly. Well, what's going on in Portland now? I mean, it's been for like at least a couple of years now. They've just been setting buildings on fire every night, and, you know, nothing to see there. Those people aren't going to get arrested or have any trouble. They can threaten the mayor and, you know, their support groups of the regime, so they don't have anything to...
attorney on fire.
They don't have to worry about it.
They don't have to worry about anything.
If you're a support group of the regime, you get a get-out-of-jail-free card. You don't have to even go to jail to get out. You don't even go there at all. Well, now Antifa has set its sights on churches. Now, I doubt there is a church worthy of the name in the city of Portland, Oregon. But there are buildings there that claim to be churches, and I doubt there's much of the Lord's teaching going on in these buildings, but nevertheless, they are churches. And so Antifa is now attacking these sure-to-be liberal churches, saying this is the religion of the colonizers. And so, you know, again, Keith, the double standards, the hypocrisy. I think we used to remember if a white person would have attacked a black church. Now, in 9 times out of 10, when that happens, it's always a hoax. But in the cases where it was true, I think they probably went after the perpetrators. So you got Antifa now attacking churches. Now, that's supposed to be something that really gets you into trouble because of the civil rights era.
That's supposed to be a federal crime now, punishable by major jail time.
I guess it just depends who's the perpetrator and who's the victim.
Exactly. Again, you know, we have this two-tier justice system, one for conservatives, the other for liberals. But just imagine what type of churches they have in Portland, Oregon. You talk about the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John being replaced by the Gospel of Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, you probably cannot be a
Christian
a Christian or a straight or anything else and be a pastor of one of these churches in Portland.
But nevertheless.
But, you know, they're attacking their own lefties. This is what's so delicious. The delicious irony of all of this is that I'm sure that all these churches are presided over by major league leftists.
Well, it's like the
being attacked by major league leftists. I mean, it's you know, you can't make it up. I'd pay money to watch this. If they had a reality show where they showed this with liberals attacking other liberals, I would pay to see that.
Well, it's like the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler. He's as left-wing and as woke as they come, but they're even attacking him, saying they're going to roust him. This is what they were doing, I think it was last year. They were going to find him at his home and roust him out and do this and do that, and literally threatening his person, and it was never... never an issue. It's just amazing. It just depends on who you are and what you support. And then the law can be selectively enforced or not enforced.
Apparently, conservatives are a scarce breed up there. They don't have enough of them to go around, so they attack themselves. I mean,
well, it's like the old saying, a rabid dog doesn't differentiate. And that's what you've got here.
You've got mad dogs, that's for sure.
So what else? If I could read my own writing, we'd get a lot further. But let's see here. I've got this. Well, this was from Pat Buchanan. This is a good question, too. I mean, we're so racist. We're so white supremacist. This nation was founded on white supremacy, and we oppress everybody and so on and so forth. All the lies that we hear. I'm going to read you a quick excerpt from Pat's most recent column, and we'll let you answer it, Keith. Okay. Here's a question, Pat asks. Why are people from developing nations leaving their home countries and crossing Mexico to get to the USA? After all, our academic, cultural, and political elites have told the world that America is a place of systemic racism created by white supremacists for the benefit of peoples of white privilege, where ethnic minorities are oppressed. Why would such a country, of all the 193 nations in the UN, be far and away the first choice of peoples migrating from the global south? Could it be that people from developing nations are not so ignorant as to believe this anti-American progressive propaganda? They know America is free and full of opportunity, that even the poor here have access to 12 years of free education for their kids, that they will find better health care in America than they can find at home, that there are programs here to battle poverty, hunger, and homelessness. But from the standpoint of the nation to which they are coming, the illegal migrant millions present real problems. They consume far more in benefits than they pay in taxes. They are dead weight on the welfare state, Pat Buchanan.
Well, let me tell you, I live near a big Catholic church that had a big Catholic school that closed down recently. Now, they don't advertise it, but out the back door, it's a refugee free-for-all center for Catholic Charities, which is one of the most left-wing outfits that you could imagine. That's what they're doing. The Catholic Church is basically fronting for Antifa in the left. They are doing their best to facilitate illegal immigration to the United States of America. Now, see, these are the churches that are being attacked by Antifa, I guess, in some place like Portland. It's just, you know, you can't make it up. This is such delicious irony. But I guess the only thing, I guess the left would say that the reason these people are coming so they can take advantage of the great looting opportunities that you have in places like Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and Chicago, you know, you name any northern city that is in a former Whitetopia, well, that is where the action is, ladies and gentlemen, as far as looting, stealing, burning, and committing crimes without fear of punishment.
Where the action is indeed, as Freddie Boom Boom Cannon.
That's right. You know, let's play that song next.
Well, we don't have to wait. We can fire it up right now. I mean, what are we waiting for? I don't think we're going to have to play the ship horn tonight, but okay, so there's that. Hey, it's easy to get good coverage for your ideas and whatever you stand for if you own the media, and that's the case with the Washington Post. You know, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. I don't know if people knew that. The founder of Amazon owns Washington Post, and at first you'd have some media that would critique these billionaires and their billionaire space race, and then now that he owns the Washington Post, it's all these puff pieces on how the billionaire space race is such a good thing and why we should all be in favor of it. But talk about having more money than you have since, just so Bezos doesn't get criticized in the establishment media. And Van Jones would have been one, the communist Van Jones would have been one who might have done that. Jeff Bezos just came, when he came back down to Earth after his
He's flight, never come back down to Earth.
He gave Van Jones, he called Van Jones up and said, I'm going to give you $100 million. Now, if somebody calls me up and says, James, I'm sending you $100. I feel like the Monopoly man in that card where error in your favor. $100 million for nothing just so he won't criticize him.
What about James Edwards? You know, you and Jeff Bezos have the same hairdo.
Yeah.
So we've got it, man.
I know.
Tell him I'm getting something for that.
I don't know. That's again, it's easy. He who owns the media makes the rules. That's a Sam Bushman quote. Not yet. So there's that to consider. Well, We'll talk more about this. We've only got a minute left, so I'm not even going to tease it. I will tell you when we come back in the next hour. Here's what's coming up the rest of the show. Obviously, our featured guest of the night in the third hour. Jack Ryan, we're moving him up to the last half hour of the second hour, and he's going to give us a full report on the Olympics. So that's going on right now. It's ongoing. It's taking place as we speak in Tokyo, Japan, the Summer Olympics. Now, this is the 2020 Summer Olympics, even though it's 2021 because they didn't get to play them last year, but it's technically and officially the 2020 Summer Olympics. And so we're going to find out what's going on. The woke Olympics. You heard of the Special Olympics. Now we got the woke Olympics, and that's what's going on. And so Jack's been on assignment. Now, we didn't send him to Tokyo, but he's been reading about what's going on there from Chicago. So that's how we send our reporters out. But he's going to tell us about it in the second hour. More to come. Special guest, third hour. We got to take a time out. We'll be right back.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.